Good morning, everyone. It's so good to see you here this morning, as I'm sure people all over the community and around the world are celebrating this wonderful, wonderful occasion. There was a pastor who was giving a youth group a lesson on the costs of life, even in dying. In an example, he used some of the elaborate monuments that people erect in graveyards, and it can cost thousands and thousands of dollars. In contrast, he used the example of Jesus, who was simply laid in a borrowed tomb. And one bright girl raised her hand and said, "Yes, Pastor, but he only needed it for the weekend." I thank Jesus for that. He didn't need it any longer because of three simple words: "He is risen." But these are also powerful words. Think about it. It is because of those three words that completely changed the course of history. And it's because of those three words that we are here today. Some of you may be here because you want to celebrate that fact. Some of you are here because you're curious. Some of you might not know why you're here today. There's one thing for sure. We are here, and we are here for a reason. God wants to touch your heart today. On this day, we celebrate the laying of the very foundation of the Christian faith and new life given to us in Jesus Christ. Whether you are born again, spirit-filled Christian, or you're just curious, or you just don't know, this day changed everything. This day marks something new in your life. Because on this day, we celebrate something that has never happened before and will never happen again. Think about that for a moment. This day is either the biggest lie in the history of mankind, or it is real and the most magnificent gift given to mankind. It cannot be both. Today we heard from the Gospel of Matthew. I want to make one point about that. Some ask the question, why do different Gospels have different aspects of the resurrection? Well, the reason is the Gospels were written by four different individuals and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. If four of you went home and wrote in your journal tonight what you experienced at Church of the Nativity, some might emphasize the music or the people that they met or some other aspect of this service. But they all took place at the same time in the same place. So Matthew is giving us his account. And in his account, I want to center on one aspect. But before I do that, I want to sort of set this up just a bit for you. This event is not something that just happened out of the blue. This has been on God's daytimer since the beginning of mankind. This is an event that has been planned by God, and God is going to be glorified in it. The very first couple were tempted and fell into temptation and rebelled against God by their own free will. And at that point, God set into motion a path. And that path tells a marvelous story, not just through the prophetic word, which there are many of, it all came true, but also through another path. And I saw something this week that brought that right into light for me. I knew some of this because Scripture points it out, but I never looked at it quite in detail as I did this week. Most of you know that the Hebrew names have a meaning. They kind of read like a sentence. Each name does. David, for example, means my beloved. Now, think about those begets that we tend to gloss over in the Bible. And when we read it, it's the lineage of Jesus. So-and-so begets so-and-so, and so-and-so begets so-and-so, and on it goes. And we sort of get nodding off as we read through that. Well, there are 77 generations in the lineage of Jesus. Every one of those names is like a sentence or has a meaning. And when you come to King David, the lineage splits. One path goes to Joseph through Solomon, and another one to Mary through Nathan. And if you just take six generations from Boaz going through David to Rehoboam, you will find these unfolding words that actually describe Jesus. In him is strength. He will come serving to make wealthy his beloved and bring peace and enlarge for himself a people. And it keeps going on and on and on till we come to the story of Jesus, the Messiah. So my point is this: not only do you have the prophetic messages throughout history, But you have the unfolding of history telling the story through the lineage of Jesus. It comes right down to Joseph, who raised Jesus, and to Mary, who gave him birth. And what does Mary's name mean in Hebrew? Out of rebellion. Out of rebellion against God comes Jesus, which means God's salvation, the Son of Man. It is absolutely amazing to look at how God's hand has been on all through this, through history, through the prophets, through the lineage. And now we come to this moment. Jesus, fulfilling the word of God given to us, he then took the sins of mankind on that cross. He died and was buried, and everyone thought it was over. Matthew tells that Mary and the other Mary go to the tomb, and the ground shook. And here's where I want to focus on the rest of this message to you this morning. The angel said to these women, "Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead." The first word he said was come. That is an invitation. Come closer. Come from where you are over here. And you see, that tomb wasn't open for Jesus could get out. After he rose, he was popping in and out of closed rooms all the time before his disciples. That tomb was open so people could get in and see. So here in this moment, the two Marys had a choice to make. They could come as they were invited to come, or they could run. It might be a scary thing. Some do want to run from what God wants to reveal to us. I ran for years when I thought there was something more than the limited knowledge I received in my youth. I was running. But God offers the same invitation to every one of us. Come. So Mary and Mary came. Then they were asked to do something else. See. What they saw was an empty tomb. This was totally not what they expected. What they expected to see was a dead wrapped body to anoint, because they didn't have time to do it when he was laid there. What they expected to see was more confusion in the future, because what will we do now? What they expected to see was back to square one. When will God, the Messiah, come? You see, they didn't expect Jesus to die. But Jesus was to become a seed for the human race. A seed that was buried for 3 days. A seed that will bring new life in ways they did not expect. How many times do we look at Jesus and just say, "Oh, that's a good teacher"? How many times do we just look at Jesus and think he was, this brought some good words to live by? We try to compare him to all the other philosophers, teachers, and religious leaders, who in reality are all looking for the very same thing, oneness with God. I hear this so many times. I want to reach the mind of Christ. Well, the mind of Christ is found only in one place, through Jesus Christ himself, as he's chosen to reveal himself in the only way he could, by his Spirit. And here in this tomb, Mary and Mary see one thing that no other so-called God, teacher, philosopher, or ever could have comprehended. God himself, in the person of Jesus Christ, rose from the dead. See, he's not here. Then the angel said to do something else. He said, go. There is no need to just stand around in an empty tomb. There is no life here. There is nothing to grow from here. Therefore, we sometimes treat life like that as well, an empty tomb. The other night, I was in our den going through a little straightening up while Debbie was at work, and there was on the shelves there were some of the books that I had in seminary, and I don't know why I grabbed one. It's called The Devotional Classics, and I opened it up, and I probably hadn't opened that book in almost 20 years. And it fell on a devotional written by William Temple, who was the Archbishop of Canterbury from 1940 to 1942. That's in England, if you didn't know. And my eye caught these words written by Temple. "From the beginning, I put myself in God's place. This is my original sin. I was doing it before I could speak, as everyone else. I am not guilty on this account because I could not help it. But I am in a state from birth in which I shall bring disaster on myself and everyone else unless I escape it. In other words, I thought, come out of the tomb. That spiritually speaking keeps us wrapped up in things that bring nothing but death. Go, get out of the tomb and go, the angel said. Then the angel said to Mary and Mary, tell the others. This is not something that remains a secret. This is not something that we hide under a rug somewhere. This is life-changing. Tell the others. Tell them that Jesus is no longer here. Tell them that he is alive. Tell them that death could not hold him down. Tell them what has happened. This is not a vision. This is not a dream. This is real. Go tell the others. So many times in life, we have this life-changing experience and we receive Christ in our lives and we know it's real and we know something's happened, but we clam up after that. When I got on my knees 41 years ago and asked Jesus into my life, I knew something happened. I felt peace like I never felt before. I felt love like I never felt before. I felt love of others like I never felt before. At first, I was confused because I was alone when I did that. But what I came to realize, though, was this. I was no longer in that tomb living it that I was living in. I had to tell someone what I did, and I did, and I got involved in a body of Christ. I no longer hid who I was in Christ. Although by no means perfect, my life became a witness. Your life becomes a witness. Mary and Mary then went as they were told, and Jesus shows up. Jesus always, always meets us when we are obedient to his call. And he says, don't be afraid. Go tell the disciples to meet me in Galilee. Nothing was like they expected, but nothing will ever be the same. Jesus did just what he said he would do. Peter said in our reading from Acts, we are witnesses. From that moment, everything changed. Why? Because of this. And this goes beyond all the historical data, the prophetic words, and the lineage. God, through Jesus Christ, changes lives. He brings life into the heart that is like a dead tomb. He brings life to those in despair and are hurting. He brings freedom to those who are buried in addictions. Jesus said it, from the heart is where evil resides, and it is the heart Jesus steps into and brings life in that dead tomb. Out of death comes life. It changed the lives of those disciples and others with them, and it has changed the lives of countless people for the past 2,000 plus years. This is not just a historical event that took place and we remember it for a day only. God has now, through the forgiveness of our sins, allowed his life-giving spirit to come alive within us. He brings new life to all who receive him, all who call on his name. The disciples and the others who scattered in fear that night soon had a life-changing experience when the Holy Spirit came on them at Pentecost. They witnessed not only what they saw, but now they are a witness to what they have experienced. I can testify you to the fact that I have experienced a life-changing encounter with a loving God by his Spirit. What happened to me that day was not a head experience. It was a heart experience. I know that many of you have also had similar experiences. Some in dramatic ways, some in not so dramatic ways. Some grew up in a home that nurtured you in the love of God, not just the facts about God. And one day you just said, Lord, I receive you into my life. My point is this. It is because of that life-changing experience that I can stand before you, and many of us can stand before you today and say, Jesus loves you. He wants to know you. He wants to give you a new beginning. But guess what? It doesn't stop there. If you know Jesus as Lord, he wants to give each and every one of us an opportunity to experience him every single day. Because each day is precious. Each day brings new hope. Each day brings another opportunity. I want to tell you that God has some really big plans for each and every one of you if you allow him to reveal them to you. And what he has in store for you is far greater than you could ever imagine. Today, everyone in this room has either experienced new life or they have not. On this special day, on this day when we celebrate the risen Lord, I leave you with this. God loves you. He loves you so much that he's willing to die for you. He was willing to pay the price that none of us could ever pay. Death on the cross. So we might have eternal life with him. So that we might experience a relationship here and now until we go home to be with him. Many are asking the question, is Jesus real? Many are dealing with broken hearts. Many are dealing with questions they just don't know what the answer is. Many are asking, does God really care about me? Each and every one of you today, as you step out of this building, can experience some life-changing reality of Jesus Christ, to be a witness, to be filled with the joy of the Lord. Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. I invite you to experience that joy. It doesn't mean we're always happy. That's another sermon. The joy comes from the very Spirit of God as he fills you with his presence. It is a joy that is beyond our comprehension and reason. Allow his life-giving Spirit to fill you with his presence. If you've not done so, I invite you to ask him into your heart today. If you have, I ask that you seek a deeper walk with him. Expect the Spirit of God, the risen Lord, to move in your life in new and exciting ways. May we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you did what you did for the human race, that you did what you did for me when I got down on my knees and asked you into my life. So Lord, I ask that you would do this for all of us, Lord, who seek you. If there's anyone here today, and you're just saying, I've never done that. I ask that you receive him now, just by simply saying, Lord, I receive you into my life. I ask your forgiveness of my sins. I repent of that, Lord, and I come to you and ask that you would just fill me with your presence. That's all you have to do. Just acknowledge that he is the Lord of your life. Acknowledge that you're in need of him, and you can't go through this life alone. So, Father, I thank you for anyone here who's received you for the first time and wants to walk in that light. And for all of us, Lord God, I ask that you instill in us a hunger for you, that as we go out of this place, that we will be witnesses, that we won't be ashamed of who we are in Christ, that you will continue to draw us closer and closer to you, to grow in you, and to speak out when we need to speak out. Doesn't mean we pound the Bible over people's heads, but it does mean that we are a witness of love that only you can bring in people's lives. So, Father, I thank you. Help us to grow more and more in you. And we give it all to you. Again, we give you thanks for what you have done for us. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.